This past week, we celebrated a very joyful and very beautiful feast of the Catholic Church, the Feast of the Annunciation. This feast isn't given as much attention by the liturgy as a lot of other events in the liturgical year. But if you think about it, it really is one of the central events of the church year. The Annunciation is when the angel Gabriel told the Blessed Mother that God wanted her to be the Mother of God. And she said yes and consented. And at that very moment, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternal Word of God, became flesh in her womb. This was the beginning of our redemption. And what a mystery this is, and what a beautiful thing to think about, that the infinite became finite, and in a sense, the Almighty became weak. This is the moment that man had been waiting for so many thousands of years, for God to take on our weak human form in order to save us from our sins and our miseries. The Annunciation is a quiet feast, relatively speaking. It doesn't have an octave. It's not a holy day of obligation. And some years it can't even be kept on its proper day, which is March 25th, because if it lands in Holy Week or Easter Week, which it does some years, the church moves it to the day after Low Sunday. In that respect, it's like the event that it commemorates. When our Lord became man, he came very secretly and unobtrusively. No one knew about his incarnation except Our Lady herself, and then eventually Saint Joseph found out as well. That fact by itself teaches us a lot about God. It teaches us that God works mostly in secret, through supernatural means, through his graces, away from the noise of the world. And even when he was grown up, most of his life was his hidden life. And when he began his public mission, he didn't go straight to the rulers and the powerful people and give them his message. Rather, he found people of goodwill and told them the good news. God doesn't depend on human means of communication, and he certainly doesn't depend on public opinion. He uses these things for his purposes when he can, of course, but he wanted to show us that the publicity of the world usually only feeds idle curiosity. Imagine if God had to rely on the people that control the media now and decide what gets put on the news. If he had to rely on them to spread his gospel, they're not interested in him. What the world loves and pays attention to is not what God loves. And the world isn't interested in God anyway. And like our Lord, we shouldn't care about the world, what the world loves either, but rather we should care more about the honor of God. And God touches people's hearts secretly with his graces, and in that way he draws people to himself. Now, I thought today would be a good day to talk about the prayer that commemorates the Annunciation. This is, of course, the Angelus Prayer. And that prayer is so deeply rooted in Catholic tradition that it's hard to even consider ourselves a good, pious Catholic unless we also have the practice of saying the Angelus daily. I will assume that all of you know that prayer, hopefully by heart. But if not, you can find it in your missal or in the Ricolta or in practically any prayer book. It'll be there because it's so central to our faith. It's an ancient custom in the church to say the Angelus three times a day, at 6 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and at 6 in the evening. People in Catholic countries have been doing this for many, many centuries, almost forever. And they have church bells to remind them to say it at these times. And that's a custom that has passed into this country too. I don't usually hear church bells ringing at noon here in California all that much. The state is so pagan. But when I was in the Midwest, it was completely normal to hear church bells ringing at noon, and usually in the morning and evening as well. Of course, people don't know why the bells ring anymore, but we as Catholics know the reason behind that. In fact, this custom is so ingrained in society that in Ireland, on all of the channels on television, they pause at noon, whatever show is on, and they ring the Angelus bell on TV at noon and give people a minute to say the Angelus. Just imagine such a thing. And they show a picture of a painting of the Annunciation to help people meditate. But this custom continued even for a long time after the council, and it does still continue to this day, but recently, because of ecumenism, they still pause everything at noon, but it's no longer the Angelus bell. Now it's just a generic time of prayer and reflection. But just imagine here if they had to pause the rock music videos on MTV at noon every day to give people a minute to say the Angelus. It's hard for us to imagine such a thing. But that shows you how ingrained this beautiful custom is in people's minds, that it hasn't been stamped out even by the mass apostasy that we have in the world today. That also shows you the power of this prayer and the graces that God bestows by this thrice daily reminder of the mystery of the Incarnation. It's no wonder that this custom dies such a hard death. Our Blessed Mother said to St. Gertrude, "Whoever shall devoutly recall to mind the joy I felt in uttering the words, 'Behold the handmaid of the Lord,' I will most certainly show him that I am his mother, and I will unfailingly assist him." And that's exactly what the Angelus is. We say, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Now, the Angelus should be said three times a day, as I said, but not everybody is up at 6 o'clock in the morning, so people who are not up then can just add it to their morning prayers. During Easter time, though, we say a prayer called the Regina Caeli instead of the Angelus. That's usually printed right next to the Angelus in most prayer books. Tradition has it that St. Gregory the Great in the 5th century heard angels reciting this prayer while he was walking in a procession on Easter Sunday. So that prayer really comes straight from heaven. Part of the reason behind the success of the Angelus is that it is so regular. When our prayer life suffers, a lot of the reason for that is because the rest of our life isn't regular enough. Things come up when we're supposed to be saying our prayers, and sometimes they're important, or they're never as important as our prayers, but sometimes they might be more urgent. And we do that instead of saying our prayers. Or sometimes for some people it's hard to assign one specific time when they'll say their prayers because they can't be sure that they'll be able to say their prayers faithfully every day at that time. And the result is that our prayers too often don't get scheduled at all, and they don't get said. But the Angelus fixes that because it involves regularity. If we know that we will say that beautiful and powerful prayer with our morning prayers every morning, and then at noon, and then in the evening, right before we eat dinner, for example, it's a lot easier to say it faithfully that way. It shouldn't be hard to say it at these times. And the Angelus is a short prayer. It takes less than 1 minute to say it with reverence. You can time yourself if you don't believe me, but it's true. But think about Our Lady's promise of unfailing assistance to whoever says this prayer. and will also give us the habit of thinking about God and praying to Him much more throughout the day. And that is the very backbone and foundation of the spiritual life. That's another reason why it's such a powerful prayer, because even though it is so short, it's spread out throughout the day, so that even though each time we say it, it only takes a minute, nevertheless, we're never very far from the last prayer that we said to God and the next prayer that we're going to say. It just spreads a beautiful supernatural fragrance over our entire day. The only difficult time to remember to say it is the noon Angelus, assuming we say the other two with our morning prayers and right before dinner, respectively. But if the noon Angelus is hard for us to remember, we can schedule a recurring alarm on our phone, for example, or just say it automatically before we eat lunch. The Angelus has a beautiful history that's good to know something about. It wasn't always said three times a day. It started out only being said in the evening. And this goes back at the very least to the 13th century, maybe even further. It was said in the evening because the Annunciation is traditionally believed to have taken place in the evening or at night. In the Catholic countries of Europe, the people would work in the fields during the day. Because there were so many churches, they would always be within earshot of the church bells of their local church. Now in the evenings, the monks would ring the bells when they sang their evening office of Compline, which is the last part of the Divine Liturgy every day. And the people wanted to unite themselves in spirit with these prayers. And so they would say five Hail Marys in honor of the Incarnation when they would hear these bells rung, in order to unite themselves with the prayers of the monks. Then about 100 years later, the morning Angelus became part of the program. And finally, the third Angelus was added at noon, at the time of our Lord's crucifixion, to make people think every day about that event every day. I really encourage you all to make the Angelus part of your life. It's been an extremely important part of our fathers of the faith for so many centuries. And we see the blessings of God bestowed on them for their devotion to this prayer. And I wanted to conclude today with a beautiful story about the Angelus. In the early 19th century in Spain, there was a revolution to try to overthrow the king in favor of a man named Don Carlos. At one point, these people, the revolutionaries, lost a battle, and a lot of them were taken prisoner. Among these prisoners, there was one prominent officer named Don Zavala, who was an enthusiastic supporter of this Don Carlos. And he was sentenced to be put to death for treason. He only asked what time he would be executed, and he was told that it would be a half an hour before the Angelus at noon. So the same day, this poor man made a general confession and prepared himself to die. So the next day, for one reason or another, the execution was running a little bit behind schedule, and I'm sure Don Zavala didn't mind waiting. But by the time they were ready, it was just about noon. So they put this man in front of a firing squad, and the soldiers aimed their guns, and they were waiting for the signal to fire, when all of a sudden, the Angelus bell rang. Well, this is Catholic Spain. Everybody's Catholic. And so just by sheer force of habit, they couldn't even help themselves. As soon as everybody heard the bell, they all knelt down and said the Angelus. The soldiers knelt down, and the people in the crowd watching knelt down. And most of all, as you can imagine, Don Zavala knelt down, and he said the most fervent Angelus he had ever said in his life. As soon as they were done, they stood up and they were ready to continue. But at that very moment, a messenger rode up at full speed on a horse, and he announced that the revolution was over, peace had been reached. There was a general pardon for all of the rebels, including Don Zavala. And so this man's life was saved by the Angelus, and for the rest of his life, he attributed this to Our Lady, to her protection. And that makes us think that it's by Our Lady's intercession that we are spared the execution that we deserve for our sins. And that happens through means of the Angelus, through the Incarnation. The Angelus is a wonderful prayer that reminds us of the mysteries of our faith. It sanctifies the different parts of the day. The freshness of the morning has one spirit, and then at noon we're busy and working and doing this and that, and that's when we need to pause and raise up our minds to God. That's also when our Lord went up on the cross to die for our sins. And then in the evening, when our Lord was buried, for most people it's a quiet part of the day, it's time to come home and be with their families. And that's when we need that refreshment of prayer too. The Angelus is a compendium of the greatest mysteries of our faith. It never fails to awaken in our hearts a sense of wonder and a sense of gratitude for this infinite act of divine love, which was begun and announced by the angel to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then realized when Our Lady said yes to God. So let us join so many other good Catholics, not only throughout the world, but throughout history, who have said this prayer faithfully, and let us make it an important part of our day. And then Our Lady will take care of us too, as she promised to St. Gertrude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.